Historic Airways at CFRC 119 FM from the heart of downtown Kingston, Limestone City of Ontario, Canada, as well as being heard throughout the Greater Toronto Area at Durham County's www.osherox.com and also via our YouTube channel at Way Back with Johnny Woodlock, where I play a lot of interviews and clips from shows, including entire shows like this. As I welcome you all to the second hour of this week's program, I would like to step away from the bluegrass music just for a few songs, for actually a double feature today, because it was this week in 1964 that the tragic plane accident happened that claimed the lives of gentleman Jim Reeves, pioneer of country music, and his business partner Dean Manuel in the evening hours of July 31st, 1964, when the plane that gentleman Jim was flying crashed in Davidson County, Tennessee. So in honor of the legendary Jim Reeves, who was all of 40 years old at the time of his passing, I'd like to remember him today with a double feature. First, we'll hear from an old-time classic titled Railroad Bum, and then we'll hear from an all-time favorite of mine that Jim did a beautiful job on, titled The Wreck of the Old Number 9. With that, I would like to say good morning to everybody listening in here on Way Back with Johnny.
I used to be a railroad bum, a living on the go. I rode freights from Canada down to Mexico, from sunny Cal to Minnesota, where the rippling waters fall. I never seemed to have a dime, but I had myself a ball, singing hi-lee, hi-low, hee-la-la-lee-la-lo. I used to be a railroad bum, but I'm not anymore. I walked in the silver dollar in Reno one night. I dropped a quarter in a Warner Bandit, the lemons lined up right. Took my winnings, then played poker, and I won 10,000 more. I used to be a railroad bum, but I'm not anymore. Singing hi-lee, hi-low, hee-la-la-lee-la-lo. I used to be a railroad bum, but I'm not anymore. In Tennessee and shrimp boats sail in Maine. Each picket time soon will find me riding the Georgia train. Cause I get restless when I'm still, I guess I always will. Wanna keep traveling all my life over another hill. Singing hi-lee, hi-lo, hee-la-la-lee-la-lo. I used to be a railroad bum, but I'm not anymore. Singing hi-lee, hi-lo. I used to be a railroad bum, but I'm not anymore. One dark stormy night, not a star was in sight. The north wind came howling down the line. There stood a brave engineer with his sweetheart so dear, and his orders to pull old number 9. She kissed him goodbye with a tear in her eye, a joy in his heart he couldn't hide. The whole world seemed bright, for she told him that night that tomorrow she'd be his blushing bride. The wheels hummed a song as the train rolled along. The black smoke came pouring from the stack. The headlight agleam seemed to brighten his dream of tomorrow when he'd be going back. He sped round the hill and his brave heart stood still. The headlight was shining in his face. He whispered a prayer as he threw on the air, for he knew this would be his final race. In the wreck he was found, lying there on the ground. He asked them to raise his weary head. death slowly win, as this message he sent to a maiden who thought she would be wed. There's a little white home that I built for our own, where I dreamed we'd be happy, you and I. But I leave it to you, for I know you'll be true till we meet at the Golden Gate. Goodbye.
Now, friends, following Gentleman Jim Reeves' collection there, I would like to welcome you all back into the Way Back with Johnny show here on this great channel. And it is once again time to welcome a very special guest of honor onto the program today as our second guest of honor. This man has been a longtime friend of mine and is no stranger to the program here, having appeared many times over the years as our interview guest. He is a well-respected bluegrass pioneer in the Kingston area and also a true pioneer legend in his own time, if I may say that. It brings me a lot of honor to welcome a man who has also been like a second father to me in music over the years, Mr. Bill White, back to our program today. In a special visit to honor the South Grenville Bluegrass Festival's 10th anniversary. Now, during this interview, we will be sharing some memories of his life and music, but also some special features about the upcoming 10th anniversary of the South Grenville Bluegrass Festival, which is happening this week from the 7th to the 10th. However, I understand that Bill also opens the festival on Wednesday night for a very special dance, and then he closes on Sunday as well. With that, here's our dear friend and a true pioneer in bluegrass music, Bill White.
Hello, everyone.
It's a pleasure to have you back on the air. I know it's been a while, but how's things going your way?
Oh, we've been very busy with our music, and we've been having fun and enjoying life, and everything is good.
Well, that's great. That's the way it should be, yes. So I know we have spoken many times about your early beginnings in music. Would you share with us how you got into the bluegrass field again?
Well, my father was a square dance caller, so Friday and Saturday nights he'd be going somewhere to a dance, and he'd be calling square dances and singing a few songs, and that's my earliest memories of music. And Mom and I would be sitting on a bench on the side of the hall waiting for Dad to finish up for the night, and if it was a Saturday night, we'd go home, and my father was always very interested in the Wheeling Jamboree, Wheeling, West Virginia. And when we would get home, he wasn't quite ready for bed. Mom would make a pot of tea and maybe a sandwich or something, and we'd listen to Wheeling, or we'd listen to Lee Moore if it was that
late. Of course, yes.
He came on at 2 in the morning and was on till 6 in the morning. And the Wheeling radio station, they could swing their beam, and in the daylight hours, the beam faced southeast, and then as the hour of darkness, the beam swung right east-northeast.
I see.
It came up into Canada pretty good at night. You couldn't get it in the daytime. But
well, same as WSM and the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we, in the north end of Frontenac County, it was pretty iffy to get WSM.
Was it? Yes.
We wouldn't always get it. On a clear night, we would. Any interference, it would just be staticky.
Exactly.
When I got old enough to drive and I got my first car, that was the most important thing I looked for when buying a car, was how good the radio.
Exactly. I don't blame you. Yes,
to get that country music.
That's right.
And then my cousin and her husband, he was an airplane engine mechanic, and he worked for a contractor at the Cleveland Airport.
Okay.
And being in Cleveland, Ohio, he was exposed to hardcore bluegrass in the nightclubs of Cleveland.
Oh, nice.
Because all the folks that had left West Virginia, Tennessee, and Kentucky and came up into Ohio to work in the car industry, they all wanted to hear their music at night. So he got influenced there into bluegrass, and he would Jack and Lois would come home for Christmas, and Jack would bring his new banjo and Lois her new Gibson guitar and a whole volume of new songs learned down there.
Nice.
I got really interested in the bluegrass there. And then when my brother Murray and my other brother Dale, they were playing, and I was learning to play too, and so we had a little family group, the three of us, And then by the time my oldest son, James, was 10 or 11 years old, he was interested in the drums.
Okay.
And so he became a drummer.
Yes.
So we had a little country band going. And I also was working on the mandolin some then, and actually got a job with Mr. Buddy Clark.
Yes,
playing
of course.
In Grass Creek Band.
Okay.
I was a mandolin player for a few years, and then I was switched over to the guitar, and I just kind of stayed with the guitar.
Yes, because they're going to say you play more of a guitar than a mandolin anymore.
I do.
So you were never pinpointed between bluegrass and country, then? You were both?
Always both, yes.
Yes, I see.
Always classic country. Was interested in the classics.
And the real stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
So you also have given a lot of today's up-and-comers their start, including a young lady named Grace Timmerman.
Absolutely, yep. She's kind of my latest protege, as you would say.
Yes.
I tell everybody I run the farm club for country music, bluegrass music.
Exactly. So what is your advice for the up-and-comers?
Well, learn your instrument and then get out there and play and watch everybody. Learn all you can and enjoy it as much as you can.
Okay. And so you are also appearing at the South Grenville Bluegrass Festival this August.
Yes, in both capacities.
Nice. Yes. So share with us a little bit about what we can hope to see or hear from your band.
Well, it will be White Brothers on Wednesday night.
Okay.
In, I don't know what they call the room, whether it's the meeting room maybe, of the building there. And it's quite a big room. Has a nice stage and a nice dance floor and tables too. It's where they have the breakfast at the festival.
Yes.
And we'll be doing a country dance and country show in there Wednesday night. And then proceeding on into the weekend, my bluegrass band called the Bluegrass 4U will be playing two shows, one on Saturday and a late afternoon Sunday.
Oh, great.
I think we're closing out the show on Sunday.
Are you? Yes, I see. So you close up the festival this year.
Yep.
I see. Yes. Yep. Now, last time we had also spoken, this goes back a couple years now, I think, but you were wanting to get your band in to do some recording. Have you done that yet?
No. No, we haven't. No.
I find it costs so much, too.
The market is different now than
that's
that people
sure.
don't seem to... Well, nobody has CD players anymore. That's gone.
Well, even the new cars, like Mother's got a 2021, and it doesn't even have a CD player, for instance.
That's right.
Yeah. It's all this Bluetooth and everything.
Yeah. Everybody is downloading from their phones and
stuff.
So you would never get your money back in my position.
But I imagine you do some private recordings, and not studio per se, but some home recordings or what have you.
People are welcome to record anything they want from our shows.
Well, that's good to hear, Bill.
If anyone wants to record anything, they are welcome to do so.
And I must get a copy sometime. Maybe I can track you down at the Bluegrass Festival, but I'd love to hear a version of Mother's Request.
Oh, yeah.
That's a beautiful song. How did that come about?
My previous wife, Lois, she used to do all our bookings and before she passed, and she booked us into Ohio quite often. We got to be where we would play in Ohio quite a bit, and we were working there with a group called East Ohio Grass.
Okay.
And the bass player of that group, his name was Red Hossiter. Charlie was his real name, but everybody called him Red.
Yes.
Although his hair was snow white.
Oh, is that right? Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, Red wrote that song, and he heard our band, and I think he probably heard me do the recitation about Old Doc Brown. And so he came to us and said, I got this song I'd like you folks to record. So he gave us the permission to do so. So it was on our first CD release.
Well, it's one that my mother really is close to. I must tell you that, Bill.
Very glad it brings her pleasure.
Yes. So tell us also, what is your opinion on, is there any changes in the festivals lately? Or I know we're still in the midst like a pandemic, post-pandemic, but the pandemic had really torn apart the festival scene, in my opinion.
It really did.
Yes.
It really did. And the group that was so popular popular with are aging, and some of them aren't able to get out the same. And so there really is very few festivals now to what there used to be.
Exactly. Yeah, it's true.
There were smaller festivals. Those that survive are larger.
And not so much ma and pa.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah. And so do you find the audiences are still as strong or no?
Well, the true devotees to it are there. The enthusiasm is still there.
Okay.
And the groups like the Ottawa Valley Grass Committee and that, they keep going with it, and the Pine Ridge Group in Oshawa.
Yes.
Other than that, in this area, you know, it's
just not the same.
Doesn't get the same support.
Yeah. I see.
And other than your radio show, now there's no bluegrass radio shows, you know, only you and Bill Knowlton.
That's true. Very true. Yeah. So tell us also what your opinion is on bluegrass staying closer to its roots than country. Is that correct in saying that?
I don't mind some progressive stuff.
Yes.
I think the secret is the old adage, a variety is the spice of life. And
Very true.
A variety doesn't hurt.
No, that's true.
I used to comment on going to, I'm going to call them dedicated festivals. They would be dedicated in the fact the promoter would have a certain style of music in mind, and he would hire every band that played that style of music.
Okay.
And I've been to festivals, now I'm talking 30 years ago,
yeah,
but I've been to festivals where everybody, well, let's say every band was influenced by the Stanley Brothers.
Oh, okay,
so
yes.
Everybody was doing Stanley Brothers material.
Yes.
Sure. You would never hear a dobro played, and you'd never hear very little mandolin play, and it was cross picking guitar and five string banjo playing Stanley style. And one band after another all did the same thing. And where I prefer to go to a festival where each band has their own footprint
and their own style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it gives a crowd a chance to a change,
you know? Or a variety of
exactly.
Tell us what some of your most popular songs are at a bluegrass festival like South Grenville.
I do a few Flat and Scruggs songs, and
nice.
I do quite a bit of Stanley stuff.
Okay.
And we have a strong fiddle player in my son Joe.
Yes, you do.
We do some of the fiddle stuff, and so we try to present a variety.
Okay, sure. Well, with that, Bill, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I hope to get this on soon, and we will see you at the South Grenville Bluegrass Festival.
Sounds good, John.
Yes.
All the best to you, and may God bless you and all your listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you.
guess, friends, following that special interview with none other than our good friend Bill White, we're back here once again, and it's that time to salute a selection of great bluegrass performers who will be appearing at the South Grenville Bluegrass 10th Anniversary, happening this week, as mentioned. And I would like to, first of all, mention that these are all borrowed from the original videos taken off of YouTube. I apologize to anyone who gets upset for me using their video, but this is just to show some of the performances of the bluegrass legends that are going to be at the program and festival this coming week. With that, let's pay tribute to some very special performances. First, we'll hear from the Dusty Drifters in a song called Heart of a Mountain Girl. Then we'll follow with the County Road 44 group and a gospel-inspired song called Roman Soldier. And we'll wrap up with Tyler Como and Highway 10 with an all-time favorite of theirs titled Longing for the Old Days. With that, I would like to share these and also, yes, mention that these are taken off the original video off of YouTube. With that, here's some of the legends that will be appearing at the 10th Annual South Grenville Bluegrass Festival. Welcome in, friends.
I saw his compassion. On his cheeks, the tracks of his tears. On his back, the stripes that he suffered. In his side, the wound from my spear. I heard him say, Father, forgive them. Jesus was looking down on me. I'm an old Roman soldier. I stood at the foot of the tree. Was looking down on me. I'm an old Roman soldier. I stood at the foot of the tree. Yes, I'm an old Roman soldier.
And the Lonesome Ramblers. You're listening to my good friend, Johnny Woodlock, here on the way back. Hey, we appreciate it. May God bless each one of you.
Misty-eyed, they cling to me, my Smoky Mountain memory.
Now, friends, following those bluegrass recordings as borrowed from the YouTube website, I'd like to once again welcome to our program another very special guest of honor, who, along with his many years in bluegrass, is a true pioneer and bluegrass legend in his own time. Also, with that mentioned, he tells me that he has enjoyed over almost 55 years in bluegrass music. With that mentioned, it brings me a lot of honor to welcome to the program today another special guest, who will be appearing at the South Grenville Bluegrass Festival this coming week. That, of course, is none other than Mr. Larry Stevenson of the Larry Stevenson Band. Following this interview, we will hear an all-time favorite that he has recently recorded, and he's requested I play following his interview, called Lonesome with Heartache. Here now is a bluegrass legend, Larry Stevenson.
Hey, Johnny, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to be talking to you. I have a lot of memories of your songs, yes.
Well, I've been at it a lot of years, so
yes.
there's a lot of songs and a lot of memories, and it's all good, and
exactly.
I appreciate that.
Sure. So let's go back to when and how you found your love for bluegrass music originally.
Oh, it was my dad. We grew up in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, and my dad, he didn't play professionally, but he played enough to get me started. He put a mandolin in my hand when I was 5 years old, and growing up in Virginia, there was a lot of bluegrass music around us.
Yes.
Not only live shows, but on the radio and everything, and it just consumed me as a kid all through my childhood days and on into high school.
For sure. So you also joined the famous Bluegrass Cardinals back in 83.
Uh-huh.
What was that like working with them?
Oh, it was great. Learned a lot. I had been with Bill Harrell, the Virginians, right before that, and then made the switch over to the Bluegrass Cardinals, and it was a great learning experience. They sang and played the style of music that I really, really enjoyed, and it was a great training ground to learn how to sing, and had a little bit different audience than Bill Harrell did, and it was a great time.
Yes. And so who would you say was the most influential over the years, bluegrass-wise, with your own career? I know you worked and recorded with many of them.
Growing up close to the Washington, D.C. area, you know, the Country Gentlemen,
yes,
the Seldom Seen, and of course the Osborne Brothers might have been my biggest ones.
Okay.
Yeah, I really fell in love with the Osborne Brothers early on in the late 60s, and really admired them and their music and their style, and of course later on they became good friends, and yeah.
Yes. And one that I was listening in the car today to was Me and My Old Banjo, which you are doing with Sonny Osborne.
Yeah, he wrote that.
Yes.
And we recorded that on my 20th anniversary CD in 2010, and
very
Sonny
nice.
Came in and sang on the courses with us.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes, I see. So would it be safe in saying you've been doing this over 30, 40 years?
Oh, I'm close. I'm somewhere between 50 and 55.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize
It kind of depends on how you look at it. My dad and I had a band in the mid-70s.
I see.
And we played quite a bit. And then I went on, when I graduated high school in 1976, I went on to work with Cliff Waldron and Leon Morris, and then, of course, Bill Harrell and the Virginians.
Yes.
So I'm somewhere around 50 years. Kind of depends on how you look at it.
Amazing. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So share with us how the Larry Stevenson Band first got formed.
Well, I left the Bluegrass Cardinals in October of 1988, and wasn't 100% sure what I was going to do. I had a couple of solo albums out, but one that I cut with Bill Harrell when I was in the band, and another one I cut when I was in the Bluegrass Cardinal band, and the second one was getting a fair amount of attention, so I thought, well, if I'm going to try this band thing, I might as well go on and do it, and that was, 36 years ago, so.
Amazing.
It just kind of worked out for me to do that, and, you know, I was single at the time, and so I had a lot of time to work on it and get things done, and that was 36 years ago.
Yes, exactly, and like they say, a lot of water's run under the bridge since, but you're still here.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing, yes.
Oh, it's been great. I don't have any regrets at all.
I've
enjoyed it all.
So share with us what, during, like you say, the last 5 decades you've been in music, what is the biggest change in bluegrass during that time?
Well, there's there's a lot of changes in the music business, just period. I mean, the way we sell music, people aren't buying CDs like they used to. It's
very
a lot
true.
Of streaming.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, you know, they're getting a lot of stuff for free. There's a lot of bands out here these days. And then when COVID hit a few years ago, we lost a lot of festivals and a lot of venues. And,
yes.
And it's different. It's really different. And, you know, and all the first generation folks are gone, and we miss them big time. And there's a lot of bands these days, and it's I don't know, it's just changed, just like everything else has.
Would it have been easier to get into it today or yesterday, sort of thing, when you first started?
Oh, I think it would be easier years ago.
Yes, I see.
But there's a lot of bands coming along these days that are kind of making it work, but a lot of the bands coming along these days claim to be bluegrass bands, and they're really
not. But they
not.
Aren't, exactly. I find that too,
so,
yes.
That's kind of a pet peeve with a guy like me, so,
yes.
So it's different. It's really different.
For sure. Now, one of my favorite songs that I have a lot of respect for is Hills of Time. You recorded that many years ago. How did that one come about?
Pete Goble wrote that. He was from the state of Michigan, and he's a great songwriter. He wrote a lot of songs for Jimmy Martin and the Osmond Brothers.
Okay, yes.
The Country Gentleman, and Pete, I did some albums with Pete. He was also a singer and a guitar player, and he sent that to me. It's still one of our more popular songs. Been out a long time.
It's one of our favorites, for sure, yes.
Oh.
Now, I also understand that you have a Canadian tour, an appearance up here at the South Grenville Bluegrass Festival.
Yeah.
What can we look
sure
forward
do.
To seeing or hearing at that?
Oh, you're going to hear my full repertoire. I've got many CDs out. I got a great band that'll be there with me. And I was there a couple of years ago with David Parmalee.
Yes.
And it was kind of a last minute thing, and we enjoyed it so much. It was a great festival.
It is.
And really looking forward to getting back up there. And we've got a good band that'll be with me, and we're going to play and sing our hearts out.
Well, we look forward to it. Yes, for sure. For sure. Now, is there going to be any of the newer stuff, or just mainly the older stuff that's played, or a little of both?
We'll do a lot of both.
Great.
Absolutely.
Great.
Our latest CD is Cast a Lonesome Shadow, and we'll have that with us, and we'll do some songs off of that. And
oh, great.
A lot of gospel music, and so we'll cover it all.
Well, that's great. Sounds good, Larry. Yes, yes. And so we were talking a little bit about the newer up-and-comers. What advice would you give to them?
Oh, my goodness. You're running a business. Treat it like a business. Be professional.
Yes.
Try to look good and act like you got some sense, and treat this music with respect.
Exactly.
And that it deserves, and be professional, and just all of that stuff, you know, and
mm-hmm.
remember you're running a business, and you got to treat it like a business.
That's true. I agree with you. So you also have a song called Weep Little Willow.
Yeah.
That's quite the song. I heard it for the first time last night, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yes. What is the story behind that song?
My friend Donna Ulysses and her husband Rick Stanley wrote that song.
Okay.
And it's just a type of story song that I really like. It's kind of sad and pitiful, and we like songs like that.
That's right. As Eddie Stubbs used to say, sad, morbid, and just plain pitiful, and that's the way it should be. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And it was just a good song that they pitched me, and we ended up titling that album after it, Weep Little Willow.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great. Great. Yes. And we were speaking on Facebook there about the Grand Ole Opry. What is it like to play?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yes.
The first time I played it was in August of 1983 with the Bluegrass Cardinals, and I've done it many, many, many times over the years with my band. I played guitar on the Grand Ole Opry with the Osborne Brothers a few times, and it's just a wonderful stage, a wonderful experience, and usually the audiences are just so enthusiastic and excited to be there, there, and of course you got all kinds of guests, and you never know who's going to be there, and it's a great stage to perform on.
And does it still make you nervous?
Oh yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely, and it needs to. If it don't, you don't need to be there.
Exactly, I agree with you, Larry. Exactly, that's right. Yes, it is the queen mother of our music, so yes, exactly.
Yes, sir.
Now, I also hear that you've been on the Ernest Tubb Midnight Jamboree. I found some of your stuff on YouTube of that, too. What is that like?
Oh, it's a fun thing. It's usually, back in the day, it was held right after the Saturday Night Grand Ole Opry.
Yes.
And it came on the air at midnight, and we would play live for about an hour and a half, and read the commercials and have a guest. And usually a good crowd. The people that were at the Opry would come over and hang out with us and at the record shop. And unfortunately, all that's gone away these days.
Yes, it is, sadly.
The record shops have closed, and they don't do the jamboree anymore. And they tried to bring it back, but it just didn't work.
It didn't work, exactly.
But that was another historic venue here in Nashville that unfortunately has kind of gone away.
Yes, so. For sure. It seems that a lot of our beloved music, the places or even the musicians are disappearing, sadly. Yes.
Yeah, and that all goes back to what you asked me before about, you know, the changes and the way things are different. It's just a lot. It's almost too much to mention, you know.
Exactly, heartbreaking, too.
Some of it is. You're exactly right.
So you were inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
What was that honor like for you?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was an organization called the Virginia Folk Music Association.
Yes.
And they did these inductions every year with people that were from Virginia, and mine was in 1996.
Okay, so
I was involved with the Virginia Folk Music Association when I was a kid. My dad and I used to go play some of their events, so to have them honor me like that was a real treat. It's a great list of folks that are from Virginia, you know, Bill Emerson, Ralph Stanley, and the Statler Brothers, Roy Clark. I mean, you know, it's a great list to be on, and I was real proud of that.
What song can I play from your newest album for you following this interview?
Lonesome with Heartaches.
Okay, sounds good, and we'll get that on for you, Larry, and thanks again for this great chat. And
okay, I look forward to being in Granville here in a few weeks and visiting with everybody there in Ontario, and
yes,
we're really looking forward to the show.
Thank you. Look forward to seeing you up here, for sure. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Take care. God bless you. Have a good day.
Will do.
Yeah.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Seen was the day you left me flat in the middle of a sea of broken dreams. My whole world turned upside down, my heart began to pound. I hit the bottom of heartbreak and misery. I'm lonesome. Used to be, I'm lonesome with heartaches on the bottom of heartbreak and misery. I received a love attack, but it was much too late. It only made me think of you and me. Every signal that I got pointed to a big mistake that I'll relive each day remembering. I'm lonesome with heartaches, dreaming of our love just like it used to be. Misery. despair, on the bottom of heartbreak and misery. I'm lonesome with heartaches, dreaming of our love just like it used to be. I'm lonesome with heartaches, on the bottom of heartbreak and misery.
Gotta keep those cards and letters coming in, honey.
Howdy, friends, listeners. This here is your old host with most country western music and bluegrass music, Johnny Woodlock. And I'd like to invite y'all, my listeners, to write yours truly, Johnny Woodlock, as well as Simbush and also Little Gunny. Here at the Woodlock Ranch and Studios. Have you ever had a thought or a message for us about this program you hear weekly? If so, we would love to hear from you. So write to us at our email address at waybackwoodlock@gmail.com and we'll be sure to write you back. In the meantime, back to the show, friends, and happy listening.
So keep those cards and letters coming in.
Well, yes, friends, following that interview with our good friend Larry Stevenson, it is once again time to welcome y'all back in to the Way Back with Johnny show, and it's just time before we send us into the third and final hour here this morning that I would like to mention that Larry and I spoke about a song during the interview called The Many Hills of Time. With that shared, I would like to play that classic now before we send us into the third and final hour of today's program. Now, I would also like to dedicate this in loving memory of my late father, Papa Willoughby, who loved bluegrass music in a way and also introduced me to the music of Larry Stevenson and different ones over the years. He was more of a fan of the Bill Monroe era, or the first generation, as I would say, but he still loved these legends as well. With that, this one's for you, Dad. We still miss you all these years later. Welcome in, friends. with that, friends, we have reached the end of another hour of the Way Back with Johnny show here on CFRC and also www.osherox.com. I'd like to send us once again into the third and final hour of today's program with none other than a sacred collection of gospel songs, and also mention that these are all by legends of bluegrass who will be appearing at the 10th anniversary of the South Granville Bluegrass Festival. Now, I would also like to mention in this third hour, we will have a chance for you to win tickets to the Saturday show featuring Miss Rhonda Vincent. So stay tuned for that. With that, let's pay tribute to, first of all, we'll hear from Miss Rhonda Vincent herself, and she's got an all-time classic titled Daddy Was an Old-Time Preacher Man, and she is joined here by the Volume 5 group. Then we'll follow with another classic gospel-inspired song, this time by Larry Efaw, good friend of mine, and the Bluegrass Mountaineers, and called I Found a Hiding Place. With that, I would like to say that we will be back following this on the other side of the third and final hour. Good morning, friends, and yes, stay tuned for your great chance to win some great tickets to the Saturday show of Miss Rhonda Vincent and The Rage. That is Saturday, August 9th, so stay tuned for that. We'll be back following these on the other side of the hour. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
And camp meetings went 4 weeks. Folks came from all around to hear him preach. Daddy said if one was saved, it's worth it all. But the aisles were always filled at altar call.
Daddy was an old-time preacher man. He preached the word of God throughout the land. He preached so plain a child could understand. Daddy worked for God, but that's no pay. For he believed that God provides a way. We never had a lot, but we got by. I guess it's cause the Lord was on my daddy's side. Yes, Daddy was an old-time preacher man. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet.
Abode. For many years I was burdened with care. So often lightning flashed and raging billows dashed. My sorrow then was so heavy to bear. But since my Jesus came, I praise his holy name. He shed the light of his wonderful grace. And every night and day to him I steal away. I found a blessed hiding place.
I found a hiding place.
I found a hiding place.
A blessed hiding place.
A blessed hiding place.
I've said a hiding place.
I said a hiding place.
A blessed hiding place.
A blessed hiding place.
There's glory in my soul.
There's glory in my soul.
My hallelujah's robe.
My hallelujah's robe.
But since my Jesus came.
But since my Jesus came.
I'm under his control.
I'm under his control.
He keeps me night and day.
He keeps me night and day.
He answers when I pray.
He answers when I pray.
And from the raging storm.
And from the raging storm.
To him I steal away.
To him.
Him I steal away.
I hear no tempter's knock.
I hear no tempter's knock.
I feel no tempter's shock.
I feel no tempter's shock.
For in the solid rock.
For in the solid rock.
I found a hiding place.
For in the solid rock, the blessed solid rock, I found a blessed hiding place.
I found a hiding place.
I found a hiding place.
A blessed hiding place.
A blessed hiding place.
I said a hiding place.
I said a hiding place.
A blessed hiding place.
A blessed hiding place.
There's glory in my soul.
There's glory in my soul.
My hallelujah's roll.
My hallelujah's roll.
But since my Jesus came.
But since my Jesus came.
I'm under his control.
I'm under his control.
He keeps me now.
He keeps me night and day.
He answers when I pray.
He answers when I pray.
And from the raging storm.
And from the raging storm.
To him I steal away.
To him I steal away.
I hear no tempter's knock.
I hear no tempter's knock.
I feel no tempter's shock.
I feel no tempter's shock.
For in the solid rock.
For in the solid rock.
I found a
friends, this is bluegrass singer Ralph Stanley II of the Clinch Mountain Boys, and you're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock here on the Way Back. Keep your dial tuned here, friend, for some great bluegrass and country favorites.
Let me walk down this road going home once again. Let me walk down this road.
Now, friends, following those gospel-inspired favorites this morning, we're back here, and it's once again time to remind y'all that you are sitting on the other side of the third and final hour of this morning's program of Way Back with Johnny Woodlock, coming to you, like always, via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario, on the shores of the St. Lawrence Seaway, where this is recorded weekly. I'd also like to remind y'all that this coming week is the 10th anniversary of the South Granville Bluegrass Festival in Spencerville, Ontario, and with that mentioned, it is a great honor to present to y'all a chance now to win a pair of tickets to the Saturday afternoon celebration of this program and festival, which features none other than the Queen of Bluegrass, known and beloved as Rhonda Vincent. With that mentioned, I would also like to share that we will open the third and final hour here this morning with a couple of classics as a double feature to the man who innovated and created the style of music we know and love as bluegrass. That, of course, is William Smith Monroe, Bill Monroe. With that, let's pay tribute to Bill, first of all, with two classics. That will be, first of all, an all-time classic called Blue Moon of Kentucky, which to me is the most essential song in bluegrass music. Then we'll follow that with a classic called Uncle Pen. Also, as mentioned, this is the time to get your phones and call me